I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie, who will return tomorrow. And alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig here on In the Loop, you can always join the conversation, 713-572-4610 on the text line. Jeff Luhnow did a great interview with Chandler Rome on his Astros podcast. And I know we've been using the clips here on the station, and we'll get to some. There's a lot of interesting sound bites to get to, so we'll just play some and react. You can go find the podcast, the full interview, if you haven't already. It's about an hour long, and all of it is interesting. Yeah. This is the first real interview for him that doesn't have to deal with his firing and the scandal and all that, where he could just like sit down and talk, look back on his time in Houston, talk about his career, talk about baseball, which provided some interesting stuff. So let's just dive right in. I mean, we could start, Figgy, with the first cut, number one there, where, you know, we have the trade deadline coming up, and we're talking about what the Astros need to do at this trade deadline. Well, Jeff provided his perspective on what a trade deadline is like as a GM, and then I think he also talks about the Yordan deal in this, but mm-hmm. Here was Jeff talking about trade deadlines.
That's the year where, really, even though you said we were buyers from 2015 on, 2016,
right,
we were sellers, and the Fields for Alvarez turned out to be one of the best investments we ever made, giving up a proven reliever for a young man. But I think that's the key, is to understand what you think your chances are. And also in 2017, it wasn't so much, are we going to make the playoffs or not? It was, are we going to win the World Series? And that, I mean, it was pretty clear to me we had a World Series caliber team. And so every move we looked at it in the context of how much will that player improve our chances of winning a World Series?
Okay, so where are they now? Is the first thing that I thought about. But as we go through these, you're gonna realize just, you know, how much Jeff Luhnow did, not just in early on in 2013, 14, whatever, to building this squad, but as it was happening, the real time. And they're talking clearly about Verlander, you know, in 2017 and making that late deadline deal and all that down to the last minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, without that, you know, who knows what they could have done or would have done, you know, without that deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And where are they now? I would say they're in need of adding some pieces at this trade deadline.
Yeah.
And elevating themselves to be able to go win a World Series. This next cut, just number two, is one of the more interesting ones to me, because I think there is some unmentioned context to this, and it's in regards to the Fires trade with Carlos Gomez as well. You'll hear the audio here from Jeff, who reflects on that deal, but what you won't hear is maybe the facial expressions as they talk about this trade. And you probably can figure out what I'm or what they're alluding to. If not, I'll fill that in after we hear. But here is Jeff talking about that trade for Gomez and Fires.
How much do you reflect on that trade, that the trade, the Carlos Gomez, Mike Fires trade for Hader and Brett Phillips, and who else was in there? Domingo Santana.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, we traded a lot of value. We knew we were trading a lot of value. I think we didn't properly evaluate Carlos Gomez. I mean, if you look at what he did prior to us trading for him, he was reaching status of being a superstar and was athletic and, you know, filled a lot of needs for us. You know, had a nice home run in the wild card game, but that didn't make up for the four players we sent away. And Fires had, you know, Fires was really good for us at certain times, for sure. He was our most consistent pitcher, I think, in 2016. But yeah, I mean, that one, if I could have that one back, that would be, that would be probably number one on my list of trades I'd want back.
Why is that?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You can hear a little giggle there from, I think it was Chandler, and they were smiling as they were talking about it. So that's what I was going to say. Do you think it's just simply because Fires became the whistleblower later
yes.
on?
Yes, absolutely. Oh,
of course they ain't had nothing to do with it.
Of course.
Like, oh man, why did I bring this guy
back in? He was our best pitcher for a while, but oh boy.
Yeah. Why did I have to go bring this guy in the clubhouse?
Talk about how things might have changed.
Seriously. He might still be around.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gomez, Carlos Gomez did not pan out in Houston. He was not the same player that he was in Milwaukee when they got him. But yeah, I thought that might have been the most interesting because you think about that butterfly effect or domino effect, and if you don't make that trade, who knows what would have happened? How baseball would could be different in the years since if we don't get that exposure and he doesn't get fired, and who knows? I mean, everything could be different in the years since just because of Mike Fiers and bringing him in. So yeah, that's the one that maybe he's as he said he kind of maybe regrets doing. Cut three.
Go ahead.
Oh no!
I want to do a little bit of a backdrop here, little backstory with Jeff Luhnow. He's so good; he's the best that there ever was in Houston in any sport in terms of a general manager. But you do have to realize Jeff Luhnow was the guy who basically orchestrated everything that ultimately led to all the controversy, all the scandal, all that. So as much as you, he's so appreciated. The guys this morning were talking about, you know, would you take him back? And the polling, the informal polling was very much, oh, absolutely. I'm going to tell you, I think I would, but I'm not 100% sure because everything he says, as good as he is, he tries to make himself look better and tries to put a twist on it that makes him look somehow innocent. And that's the issue that I had.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I get that. By the way, I know in general, I think I would be willing to take him back, but I know in that conversation earlier, I don't know if they were talking about like right today, but I would tell you, like, I think Dana Brown's doing a great job.
Yeah.
I would be happy with the current situation. Now, if there was an opening down the road, yeah, sure. Hypothetically, theoretically, sure.
Yeah.
Because he did a good enough job. But I do agree with your point and get where you're coming from. This next cut, so there is a story, I don't know, a few months ago about Eric Hosmer and Dayton Moore, the GM for the Royals, talking about how they almost traded for Jose Altuve. So they had to ask Jeff about that and say, like, hey, was this true? Did you almost trade Altuve to the Royals in 2013? Cut three. This is Jeff talking about the potential Altuve deal in 2013.
He's not lying. Dayton is a very honest, high integrity guy. We did have a conversation about it. It didn't go very far. At the time, we weren't looking to trade Jose Altuve. We were looking to acquire Eric Hosmer at the time. And, Kansas City was on the rise. And we tried everything. We didn't have a lot of players that would bring you an Eric Hosmer.
Correct.
So at the end of the day, we're like, well, is he going to trade him or not? Let's just throw our best guy out there, our best young guy, and see if he'll even react. It was not an official trade offer. It was one of those, hey, would you consider it? And it was a very short conversation, so it didn't go anywhere. But also, yeah, we all have to remember Jose Altuve at that time was not what Jose Altuve became. And obviously, we had a lot of confidence in him. We re-signed him to two extensions while I was there. He's been the franchise player ever since.
I believe all of that, though. I do. I mean, they were trying to, they were trying to ultimately get to where they got. And Altuve wasn't, he wasn't that guy quite yet. Yeah, I buy that.
No. Yeah. That was, I think, his second full season. Mm-hmm. And as he said, it was kind of more of just like a throw in to see what if the Royals would be willing to move Hosmer at all and not necessarily like truly negotiating a deal. Mm-hmm. Just, oh, you don't want this, wouldn't work. This wouldn't work. Okay. What about Altuve? And see if that could get anywhere. But again, go back to that whole butterfly effect or domino effect. Imagine if they did pull off that trade, how different things would most likely be in the past decade for the Astros.
And for Kansas City.
It's true.
That was a good squad.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I mean, they got their one World Series. And Hosmer is a good player, but he's been retired for a couple years at this point, and Altuve's still swinging a pretty good bat.
Mm-hmm.
So he was solid, but he's no Altuve. Really could have changed the future over the past decade of both those franchises. That would have been something. Good thing they held on to him, and Altuve's still here. Let's skip ahead. Cut number seven, Figgy, because I think this is interesting as well. We always wonder about ownership for all teams, but even for the Astros, especially when we talk about like this, the medical stuff going on right now, and like how does this not drive you nuts? How do you not want to try to change something?
Yeah.
Well, here was Jeff talking about at least his time here in Houston, how hands-on the ownership was with his day-to-day role as a GM.
The trade that he probably got most involved in sort of emotionally was the Greinke trade. Because we were on the fence about the Greinke trade. And there were other options that we were considering. But Jim did seem to want that player on our team and wanted the sort of sex appeal of Greinke and all of that. And so, you know, would we have made the trade without Jim's pushing us? I don't know the answer to that, to be honest. I mean, I think he was definitely excited about it. And, you know, every time the trade would die, which trades die a lot, and that one died like four times in the 24 hours before we did it, you know, he would say, well, what about, you know, if we took on a little more of a salary? And I'd say, okay, well, in that case, yeah, I mean, you know, sure, we'll make another run at it. So that was one where he was involved.
That's very enlightening, isn't it? Especially now you know how much more involved he is, because keep in mind, his trust for Jeff Luhnow was very deep, Jim Crane's. You know, Luhnow's the one that convinced him about, you know, losing and then winning and building these squads and all that. He trusted Luhnow. But to step in there, it makes you wonder about how much more did he step in, you know, after it got good to him, so to speak, mm-hmm. you know?
I also like the line. I know they talked about this morning, but the sex appeal with Zach Greinke. I don't think they're talking about actual sex appeal.
The first thing you think of it?
Yeah, right. But more so of like from a baseball perspective, yeah. that appeal of adding him to mm-hmm. a rotation into a roster, not actual like physical looks. But maybe I'm mistaken. I don't yeah. know. Maybe Jim
maybe
Crane.
Maybe he thought he was kind of hot.
Yeah, maybe right. Jim Crane got excited. Like, hey, we could bring in more female fans with exactly. Greinke on the mound every 5 days. Who knows? Cut number 12. Talking about Jeff and his potential future. Will we ever see Jeff Luhnow back in Major League Baseball? There's two clips of him talking about this. But this first one, cut number 12, is about getting the itch. Does he ever get the itch to come back? He's right now working in professional soccer, still based here in Houston. He goes to, as I understand, Rockets and Texans games, but hasn't felt comfortable returning to an Astros game. Anyways, does he get the itch to go back to baseball? Here's what Jeff said.
I don't think a lot about coming back to baseball, but having this conversation with you guys and thinking about all this history and things that I did well and things that I didn't do well, and kind of perspective around it, you know, it certainly would be fun and interesting to go back into baseball. I know that my teams and my investors and my partners would probably not like that a lot at this point.
He's not going to come back to baseball, not because of his choice. This is where it all kind of, where I said, you know, he makes himself look good a yeah. lot of times because he, you know, the guy's got a dirty streak. You know, we know that. Yeah, we know that for a fact. They've admitted to it. But he tries to make himself look good. As great as he was, he's been ostracized from baseball. I mean, flat out. He's doing quite well. He's got this, as he mentioned there, you know, this soccer commitment that he has and all that. Are you telling me that one of the best general managers in all of baseball wouldn't come back if he could?
Well, that takes me to this next clip, and yeah. we'll leave it with this one. There's so much audio to get to, but we'll play just this last one. Sounds like you won't be buying what he's selling here. This was Jeff talking about if he's heard from MLB teams during his time away. Cut 13.
I've had, I'm not going to tell you who, but I've had two or three owners contact me and ask me if I was interested. In either a role as GM or another role, maybe as a different role where I'd oversee the sporting operation. And in all cases, I said no, because at the time I was raising money and starting my company. But you know, I don't think I'm blackballed from baseball like some people think. And I know I would do a good job. I mean, I know that for a fact.
Oh, good.
Cocky man.
I he's so cocky, and he has been blackballed. I mean, what else could it be? Baseball owners will do anything to win. They'll do anything to win, but this is beyond the pale. You know, this is beyond something that they could even, you know, could sort of sell. You know,
you don't think we'll ever see him in Major League Baseball again?
Not for a long time, if ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you get to a certain point where like almost too much time passes, that almost out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
like, yeah, you had a great run, but that was 15 years ago now at this point, or whenever it might be, mm-hmm. whenever we get to that day where like, okay, we're cool. We've moved past the scandal. It's fine with you getting back into the game, but the game's almost passed you by at this point. It's mm-hmm. been that long. So we'll see if that window ever opens itself for Jeff, if truly teams are interested. You can go find the full conversation on Chandler Rome's Astros podcast with Jeff Luhnow. It's like an hour long, a lot of interesting stuff. Talks about specific trades, talks about specific players from his tenure. So if you're an Astros fan, I recommend checking it out later on, and you probably eat up a lot of good insight from his time here. When we come back, it's that time of day where we have to get some stuff off of our chest. Time for Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We'll do it next in the Loop.
All right. So remember when I was just talking about Jeff Luhnow? And the best there's been in this city in terms of general manager, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Luhnow loves him some Jeff Luhnow. Jeff Luhnow tends to bend the reality a little bit. Jeff Luhnow also sort of orchestrated, not sort of, orchestrated the whole 2017 cheating scandal. So I want you to, one of the most controversial, they were cocky, man. They were all cocky. Remember the whole thing about, When they were criticizing women reporters and all that stuff and just arrogance, and they had earned it, of course, on the field, but didn't have to act that way. One of the most controversial things they did was when they acquired Roberto Osuna, who was, well, let's hear his comment on his reaction to trading for Roberto Osuna.
I didn't take into account as much as I should have the impact it would have on our fans, especially our female fans, and how they would feel. And that was a mistake. And, you know, I did talk about it with female friends and family, but I probably should have spent a little more time thinking about it. But it wasn't, you know, yes, I made the decision to trade for him. I did not do it unilaterally. The talent checked the box for sure. And there were, you know, everybody that was around me that I collaborated with was, you know, there was nobody saying don't do it, because if someone had said don't do it, I mean, obviously we wouldn't have done it.
Liar. What a liar.
So it would have took one person.
What a liar.
To say, nah, I don't think that's a good idea. He would be like, okay.
Also, not one person brought that up and be like, hey, this might not go over well.
Oh, my God. You talk about LOL and literally LOL. That was a literal. I just did it again when I heard that. Like, you liar. And I know calling someone flat out a liar is harsh. He's a liar. Roberto Osuna was suspended for 75 games.
Yeah.
And
that didn't pop up.
That didn't come. Hey, you know what? You think our female fans might mind this a little bit, or some of them might,
or even outside of just the female fans, just anybody, period, just any human being, period.
Well,
you know, you
yes,
like that's not going to rub somebody the wrong way, or somebody just going to be like, just a little question mark.
75 games.
Yeah,
I didn't really think about that.
And also, to go along with that, the biggest clown was like the assistant GM who in the clubhouse was yelling at women reporters like, thank God we signed Osuna,
right,
whatever it was.
Right, after the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which goes along with this whole idea of, they, you know, I don't think they ever saw anything wrong with that move, with that trade,
yeah,
or with bringing Osuna in, because even months afterwards, after the negative feedback, all this stuff, they didn't sit there.
They
still didn't see any fault.
Yeah. I know it's harsh, but guess what? Liar.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. My confession, so outside of probably Houston and Boston, I'll be seen as a real hater for this,
mm-hmm,
but in this city, in Boston as well, you probably will agree or sympathize with me. I am tired, now that we've reached this All-Star break, and I see all these articles and accolades and everything about Aaron Judge. I am so tired of people talking about Aaron Judge as one of the all-time greatest hitters.
Hey, man, first fastest to 350.
I know. I give him props for that. He's a good home run hitter. I'll give him credit for that. Although, also, this is a new era of baseball where we have the juice balls. We got torpedo bats now. He's playing in a band box. It's different than a lot of guys in previous eras, but still, I'll give him credit for the home runs. I cannot, though, get behind him as just, and maybe this is me, picking on semantics, but mm-hmm, I can't get behind people talking about him, calling him one of the all-time greatest hitters. He's not an all-time great hitter. He's a great home run hitter. I know the batting average is tremendous this year,
mm-hmm,
but Aaron Judge, you could pick any sample. I just went back to the last 5 weeks. He has struck out in 40% of his at-bats, and I know this is old school, like a man yelling at clouds,
yeah,
because the game has changed, but I don't care. I cannot put him in the same conversation as the greatest hitters of all time, like some have, if he's striking out in nearly half of his at-bats. He has struck out more in the last 5 weeks alone than Tony Gwynn or even Joe DiMaggio ever did for an entire season. He's a great home run hitter. He's good for his era. I get that, but I can never put him in the same conversation or even ahead of guys like Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio and Tony Gwynn, who, by the way, retired 24 years. It wasn't that long ago. It's not like the game has completely changed. He played during the steroid era and still didn't strike out. I just can't get, not to mention the fact that you have a catcher who has more homers than Aaron Judge right now. So how big of a deal is it? And you also have Aaron Judge, five of his homers this year, five of his whatever 36 have come in high leverage situations, which means 31 have come in low leverage situations.
Yeah.
He hits 200 in the playoffs. He strikes out in half of his at-bats. Stop with these conversations of Aaron Judge being an all-time great hitter. He's not.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So do they have them like an all-time great hitter in Yankees history, or do they got him up there yet?
New York media has got him way up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they, and you mentioned, what about Ichiro?
Sure.
I mean, you know, like there's some of the all-time that played in this era.
Yeah, I can entertain one of the best home run hitters. Yes, sure, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But when we talk hitters, there's more than just hitting home run. I cannot put him in the conversation of Pete Rose and Tony Gwynn.
Yeah.
He just strikes out. He's a home run guy, and he strikes out way too much.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went to Meetienda.
Oh, man, that's my jam.
Yeah, for the first time ever yesterday.
I told you about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I always seen the commercials and stuff, too, and talked to some people from AGB. They always talked about it. Drove past some, but never went inside.
You go to the one on 59?
Yes.
Dude. Yep,
that's the one I went to.
Go ahead.
It was amazing, man.
It's entertaining. I got to confess,
it's fun.
Yeah.
It was fun because after I left church, my wife was like, I need to stop at the grocery store. And then she said, Mi Tienda. I'm like, all right. So I dropped her off in the front, and I was sitting in the car. And she was like, you need to come in here. This is her first time in here, too.
Dude, it's the best.
She was like, you need to come in here. I think you might like it. I'm just like, oh, God, man. Because she was just going in to get a couple things.
Yeah.
So I walk in. It felt like I was in Mexico.
You were.
They had the music going. They had food outside. And
they got the grills. They got the griddles.
They had the grills.
They got piñatas in there. They got the restaurant with the aguas frescas and all that stuff.
They had everything going, man.
Dude, it is a jam.
I was really impressed.
Yes.
To the point I might go there just to do my regular shopping.
Dude, it's so good. Like I said, it's in an internet. Have you been?
No, I don't think so.
It's an entertainment event.
Yeah. It was so cool to the point she was like, if we have family in town, let's just take them here.
Yeah.
Just kind of see, because you don't have those type of grocery stores anywhere else like that.
They got the Mexican candies. Like I said, they got the piñatas. Mm. They got all the bona fide, you know, taco stand in the store.
Yeah, it's stuff you don't see on the regular.
They got the Mexican coffee, the Mexican sodas. Dude, I know it sounds like I just love that place, though.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, but this is another side confession, too. When we was checking out, and you know how they had the stuff on the side, candy bars and all that stuff. And I seen they had a Nutty Buddy. I'm like, oh, okay, I ain't had one of these in a long time. Man, that thing was a dollar. The regular Nutty. Yeah. I had to go on my old man stands on this one. I'm like, man, this thing used to be 25 cents when I was a kid. And they were smaller. So I'm like, man, a dollar?
Yeah.
And then it said value price or something. I'm like,
That's value?
I'm like, these things literally used to be 25 cents. I remember it. And I was going on a rant. I'm like, I used to buy a bag of chips for 25 cents.
Oh, back in the day.
Yeah, I used to buy a soda for 25 cents, a Nutty Buddy, and probably 25 cents worth of penny candy or something. I'm like, a dollar?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
So you didn't get it?
Yeah, no, I got it. I got it because I wanted it. But I'm like, man, this times is really changed. A dollar is now the new quarter.
Yes, it is. Yes,
that is. I couldn't believe that was, and it was smaller. It wasn't even the same size. I couldn't believe that, man.
Oh man,
yeah, that's how they get you now. Everything is smaller in size and costs more. You get these bag of chips, and they're only
five chips in there, man.
They're half empty now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Man. I'm completely honest here. I honestly, hand to God, did not think I was contagious last week. So Luke, kind of came down with. So basically, all last week I was really fighting it. You know, a little head stuffiness and cough and throat and all that stuff. But I swear I never had a fever. You know, I felt like crap, but we got through the week. I did not think I was contagious, and then what happened Saturday morning, Luke?
Woke up not feeling well.
As soon as I left town.
Yeah, it might have been different, though. I think I had a fever Saturday, so much so I was outside. It was like 94 degrees here in Houston on Saturday. I was outside in sweatpants and a long sleeve shirt and felt real good. I was like, this is perfect weather in my sweatpants, but I was not feeling good Saturday. I feel much better today, fortunately.
Yeah, I feel so bad this morning when I walked into the prep studio there. I never felt like I had a fever. I took my fever, and I think the most it was ever was like 99. Well, that's nothing, you know. Yeah. Then I walk in this morning, and I go, "What's up, Luke?"
I'm all right, man.
I'm like, oh, well.
Yeah, I guess you got me.
Yeah.
Got to go back to wearing masks.
I'm patient zero.
I know. Let's hope it doesn't spread anywhere else here. Moving forward. Fortunately, I feel good. Saturday, not so much. Was a lot better yesterday, mm-hmm. and even better today. We're good to go. I might feel worse, or I might sound worse than I actually feel.
Yeah.
But all good. Hey, those are our Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. When we come back, what will allow the Rockets to win the title or actually keep them from winning the title moving forward now that Durant is here? We'll talk about it next in The Loop. What will allow the Rockets to actually win the title? What will keep them from winning it now that Durant is here? It seems like all the boxes are checked. We'll talk about it on In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie, who will be back tomorrow alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. And appreciate you hanging with us as well. Hope you had a great weekend. You can always text the show 713-572-4610 to join the conversation. A lot of hate on my Aaron Judge confession. That's
a lot of
fine.
Love, too, though. A lot of love, too.
I was about to say, a lot of hate. Yeah. Are we in the Bronx?
I know. A lot of New Yorkers down here.
I know a lot of people here rock with Aaron Judge like
I
that.
Know. Yeah. I acknowledge, really good baseball player, but can't put him in the conversation with Ted Williams and Pete Rose and DiMaggio, all these great guys, so on and so forth. Yeah. You get the idea. Let's talk some Houston Rockets. So the reason why I kind of ask this question now, as we're getting ready for training camp and it's the All-Star Week in baseball, and the NBA kind of feels, even though Summer League's going on still, the NBA kind of feels a little distant. But we know Kevin Durant's here, and it's an exciting time for the Rockets. And then I also saw this clip where Vernon Maxwell was on, I think it's the Up and Smoke podcast, they call it, the Matt Barnes podcast. And it was their final episode for a while. They're going to take a break from their podcast mm-hmm. until we get closer to the NBA season. So they asked Vernon Maxwell, they said, give us a prediction that when we come back to recording months from now or whatever in the future, we'll look back on and say, like, oh, you know what, Mad Max, he called this. Here's what Vernon Maxwell said is his prediction for the future in the NBA.
Max, this is the last show of the summer for the season. What is one bold prediction for next year? What's something you want to hang your hat on that remember this day and we're going to clip this shit, and next year we're going to say, Max, remember you said this shit on this day. What is that prediction? For you.
The damn Rockets gonna win the championship next
Ooh,
year.
Ooh, I ain't mad
that's
at it.
That's what the damn bold, that's what I the bold the prediction is. That's hey, it. The Rockets gonna win I that love it. Yeah, I that's love what it is.
I mean, they're you know, it's not really out on a big limb. It's out on a little limb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out on a little limb, it's out on a big limb. Or do I have that backwards? Whatever. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. It'd be a little limb, right?
Yeah, a little limb.
I mean, they do have the second best odds, you know, to win at least the West. They're the second best team in the West behind the Thunder. So not a huge, not a big, not really putting himself out there. But nonetheless, still, Vernon Maxwell believes in his former team. But it got me thinking, what will actually, now that Durant's here and it feels like all the pieces are here, what will actually allow the Rockets, what will it be this year that makes sure this team wins the championship? And then vice versa, the other part of that question is, what will it be that will actually keep them? That if they don't win a championship, we're going to point, it's because of this thing.
Yeah, and by the way, every time I hear Mad Max, it sounds like he should be talking in a barbershop. Like, you know, just old school. He tells you exactly what he thinks. And it's got that gravelly voice. Yeah. Like he's seen things, man.
Just don't owe him no money.
Yeah, just don't owe him any money. Reed Sheppard would be my number one answer. By the way, you mentioned, Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
Real good game in terms of points. And then a game that you kind of go, okay, well, we can see where there needs to be some more development, whatever. But that would be my number one, would be Reed Sheppard, because I think they have all the pieces, man. I think they have everything they need. They have the coach, for sure. They've added some, obviously Kevin Durant, but they've also kept pieces that I think are going to be crucial. And then Capella comes in. And I think there's a lot of proven spots for this squad that are there. What's the point guard situation going to be?
Yeah.
That would be it.
That's been my biggest concern with mm-hmm. this. That's my only concern, really, with the roster. I think they have everything else other than that second point guard. Maybe it is Reed Sheppard. He scored, what was it, like
31?
Oh, 31? Yeah, over the weekend in the summer league. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, figuring, let me throw another curve at you. Here is you got the Reed Sheppard clip. This was going back to the end of last week where Reed Sheppard was talking about, he was on NBA Today, and talking about being quote-unquote untouchable this offseason. We had reports that the Suns tried to get Reed Sheppard. They were told, no, he's untouchable. Here is Reed Sheppard talking about it on NBA Today.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. For me, this is my first year dealing with all the offseason, the trades. So it's kind of crazy seeing all of it go down. But like you said, hearing some of that stuff is pretty cool. It gives me a lot of confidence just going into the gym, continue to work on everything I've been working on this summer, just getting better and just really looking forward to the season and trying to help as much way as I can.
Look,
that Beyonce song was blasting in the background.
That whole scene
put a ring
wild.
On it.
That whole scene was wild right there, man. But no, I mean, it's really weird that one guy is going to have like so much land at his feet if it doesn't go well, because it's going to be him. How he goes is going to help, because not just, you still, even though you got Kevin Durant, you want more shooting on this team.
Yes.
You need more shooting on this team.
Yeah, I think that's my concern. Well, twofold. Both of those things kind of tie together, that if things don't work out for the Rockets and they don't reach that ultimate goal of winning a championship, I think it'll be because you don't have that. You still don't have enough shooting,
mm-hmm.
that Durant isn't enough. Reed Sheppard might not develop, which leads me to my second concern. And this came out when watching the playoffs this past year, especially the NBA Finals, where even though the Thunder and the Pacers seem to have really good guards, and it wasn't a concern going into that series of like, oh, they don't have good ball handlers. Still, just with these teams, the amount of pressure they put on the ball and the pressure in the backcourt, the amount of turnovers we got in those NBA final games from the Thunder and the Pacers, that mm-hmm. it was like, dang, even these teams are kind of short at the guard position. And that's my concern, where it might not play out in the regular season. And I've said this before, this has been my worry about the Rockets all offseason, since getting Durant at least. But come playoff time, you need those guards that can handle the ball and take care of that basketball and handle the backcourt pressure, especially if Fred VanVleet has to come out of the game, and then they can knock down some shots for you. And it's why I wanted a veteran guard like Tyus Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it comes down to Reed Sheppard. A lot of it falls on his plate, which ties in with what you said, that if it works out, if Reed Sheppard develops and has a really good year, then, yeah, you're sitting pretty. But my concern is that maybe he's not ready in year two, and you still don't have enough shooting, and you don't have enough guard play you can count on in the playoffs.
And what if, the other thing that I think is somewhat of a concern, I do have confidence, as I mentioned, in Anoka and what this defense is and some of the players that are going to get more playing time with this squad. But perimeter defense can still, let's say Reed Sheppard does, end up, he's not a total liability defensively, especially, man-on-man. But then you have some perimeter guys that can be worked a little bit. I think defensively on the perimeter might be a little bit of slight concern as well, mm-hmm. especially come postseason. Yeah.
And then for me, I kind of started with a negative, but if I were to say the positive, like what will it take for this team to actually pull it off? With everything that we've already laid out, I think it's just like those guys taking the next step,
mm-hmm.
the younger players around Durant. So, if you get that next step forward, a bigger leap with Amen Thompson, and especially if maybe, say, he starts to develop a little bit of an outside shot. We talked about still needing some shooting on this team. If he can improve a little bit from three, and if Alpi takes another big step forward and could be that star. Because I don't know if Durant to me is coming in to be like the finisher, but I don't think he's going to still be the guy over the course of 48 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think the Rockets would be better served if, the supporting cast, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, gets you through the first three quarters, and then Durant takes over in the fourth quarter. Because we've never seen a star of his age lead a team to a championship, mm-hmm. so I wouldn't want to count on him to be the guy all game long every night. But if Thompson and Şengün can do these things, and then in a close game...
Jabari.
For sure, Jabari needs to take that mm-hmm. step forward. If those guys do it, and then Durant comes in as the closer in the fourth quarter, then that's when I think you're at your best for this Rockets team and can certainly go win a championship.
And the other thing, you know, you mentioned what could win them a championship. We've talked about that, you know, potentially prevent them from winning a championship. They're not the only squad that has done some things this offseason. There are some squads, I'm talking about both conferences, but specifically the Western Conference, that had really good drafts. We've seen some real good highlight stuff, and for what it's worth, this summer league, from guys like Parker, Dylan Harper, and some of the other things. Like, the West in general could be a hurdle, just no matter how good they are, and they are better. But Oklahoma City, we know, obviously, some of these other Western Conference teams, this isn't like, oh, okay, pencil them in, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. YouTube says Durant's the answer for both. What will allow them to win a championship or keep them from winning?
Yeah.
The text line says staying healthy and mashing together. I think they mean meshing together, but if they do so, then they can mash together.
Too, yeah.
Staying healthy, that's always the big thing, especially in the NBA. A lot of times, unfortunately, it seems like the champion is just the healthier team. We've seen so many championships be influenced or be altered because of injury. So, yeah, certainly the Rockets need to stay healthy. I think Jabari Smith is going to give you quite a bit more offense than you're expecting from the text line. I think between him and the other dudes we picked up, we will be set for shooting, is what someone says on the text line. Mm-hmm. So they feel good about the shooting of this team. But we shall see.
To be determined, though, isn't it?
Yeah, the shooting?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you can feel good about it, but I know what Durant's going to do.
Yes.
I know what Reed Shepard can do, but is he going to be, you know, good enough to play more minutes?
I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah. Well, I think he can shoot.
No, I'm saying,
but is he even going to be on the
minutes
floor
part?
Enough?
Part, man. Yeah, because exactly. I thought he should have got a little more minutes last season.
Right. But he was viewed as a liability anyway.
Yeah, it's true. Kick Rocks did. He said, wouldn't the little limb be more risky than the big limb?
See, I guess still that's confused true. About
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I changed it.
Yeah.
So he's not out on a little limb because that means it could fall. He's on a big limb because it's a little sturdier.
I guess so.
Right?
But do you say, when you use that phrase, do you always say on a little limb?
No, or I just say out limb. On a limb.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I guess you would say, I was thinking, yeah, I had the wrong thought process. I was thinking more of like big proclamation, so that's why big limb. But yeah, no, I guess you're right. The little limb would be riskier.
Remind me to never use that again.
Yeah, you confused all of us. Yeah. I do want to get to this piece of audio while we're on the Rockets. Sorry, I'm not good with names. I hate to refer to him as Giannis's brother.
That's what he is. Unfortunately, that's what he is.
That's how I know him. He has a podcast, I guess. Everyone has a podcast these mm-hmm. days. I don't know who's tuning in for this one. But he had the claim that this is the most talented team Kevin Durant has ever been on. This is the best team of Durant's career. Here's what he had to say.
But with KD, man, I think this might be the best team he's ever been traded to. Because he didn't get traded to Golden State. He actually signed with them, correct?
Yeah.
This is the best team he's ever.
He's had some teams.
Let me rephrase this again. Not the best team he's ever been on, because he had Golden State and then he had Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Nets were different, right? But I'm just saying, from top to bottom, the more depth in roster, this is Houston. Right?
Houston's good. Jabari Smith getting a new deal. Thompson probably being the better player of those two, and they still have Şengün, who might be the best of those three. And you add Durant to that?
I've never heard a guy just change his opinion mid-sentence like that. This is the best team. Well, hold on. He goes, well, hold on. Now, you did sign with the Warriors, and Brooklyn was pretty damn good. But you know what? They're good. He changed his whole opinion as he was talking.
Yeah, but, I mean, how much is he saying by saying not signed but traded?
Exactly.
Like, he's been traded how many times? What, twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I actually listened fully to the, like, really paid attention to the clip, it probably wasn't even worth playing because he changed his opinion three times and couched the whole statement with trading versus signing. But I think he was still trying to say, based off of depth and everything, I think he was still saying this is a better roster top to bottom than that Warriors team. Because
then, yeah,
I
then
think.
He changed it to depth.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, well, okay, well, let's just talk about the depth then.
Yeah. No, I think what he's saying, though, I think he didn't want to get called out on, hey, what about Golden State?
Yeah.
Or what about playing with Kyrie and James Harden? Mm-hmm. And, I think he didn't want to get called out by that. Yeah. But
Realized it as he's talking.
Yeah. But I think in general, I do think he have a point. This is a really good young team he's with.
Yeah.
And like you said, from top to bottom, I do think you could kind of put this up there. If it gel right with the young players and all that stuff, I think it is.
That's why he's Giannis' brother. That's why we don't even say his name. He's just Giannis' brother. No, I agree. I would take this roster top to bottom over that Brooklyn roster, even though they had more maybe star power.
Upper level, yeah.
But even though the Warriors might not have been as deep, still, they went 73-9, and then Durant joined that team. Like, I can never say this is the best team Durant's played on. That was a historic team that he then joined. That was, of course, is the best. 832 on the text line says, I think the Rockets need another shooter and a solid backup point guard. Yes, that's what I've been
saying.
That's
exactly right.
Yeah, that's my only concern for this team. I think everything else is there. That's just my worry once they get to the playoffs. You could text the show 713-572-4610. What will allow the Rockets to win the title or keep them from winning the title now that they have Durant? When we come back, ESPN's been doing a top 10 list by polling different executives and people in the NFL. They've been ranking the top 10 at each position on a daily basis. Well, today they did the top 10 quarterbacks. I think it's really interesting. I think you can make a case CJ Stroud's now underrated. We'll talk about it next in The Loop.